Welcome, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. For this January 2nd, 2023, it's a new year, new day, and thank you for joining us on the show. Show brought to you by our good friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Big thank you and a good morning to all of our friends at Quality Plus. Appreciate them joining us. Joining us as well is Seth Habegger. Good morning, Seth.
Good morning, everyone.
Thanks for being here, man.
Yeah, not a problem.
And all of you, thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
Phone lines are wide open, everybody. 424-2600. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Jump in the game. Join the conversation with your sports thoughts and feelings. We want them. We're going to talk a little bit of retirement today. We're going to talk a little bit of Major League Baseball. Get into a couple of different things there. Not really sure where to start the show because we had such a weird break.
We had,
you know, the last week we had two playmakers Monday, Friday.
Yeah, that's right.
Or Thursday.
Yep, that's right.
And that was fun. You know, there's always sports to talk about.
Of course.
But then, you know, the weekend happened where just a couple little things like, you know, a national championship game in college football was decided.
Yeah, right.
A bunch of NFL games that decided a bunch of futures.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's Major League Baseball signings every day, it seems like. There's so much that happens.
Yeah, I know.
So, I mean, you know, you might as well just throw, put all your sports topics on a board and just throw a dart.
Throw a dart. Let's do that.
This is where I wanted to start though, Seth, because here's the interesting thing to me.
Okay.
There's a billion topics out there, a million things we could talk about. And I, you know, have a pretty busy life, but I have time for sports.
Sure.
I have time to be able to not only watch sports, but to decide what I want to dive into. What topic do I, who's the free agents out there?
Yeah.
Seth does not have the time. And this is where this is the opening topic I wanted for Playmakers. How you find a balance of being able to get your sports in when you have to be a dad, a husband, a worker, all these other things. Like most people, that is their day-to-day lives. But there's some of us out there that also get this chance to kind of do this, you know, where I have freedom of time. I have a little more of that and everything. How when it's that barring, you know, have your major sports you love, you have your major likes and everything, you got to really pick and choose. Like, okay, I got 5 minutes. Minutes to look at ESPN and see what's headlines.
You got it, man. It's one of the, it's funny because the way I did it is I narrowed it down. So there's only one sport that I'm like really passionate at following. Of course, baseball. I think people know that by now. But I do like to keep up on what's going on the other things. But that's just checking in. I can't sit down and watch a football game, a basketball game, you know. I would like, you know, I was with my sister and her family over the New Year's, and I was talking with my nephews, and they're all, most of them are, a couple of them are big fans. I'm like, man, I want to go to a Bucks game with you guys.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love to share that kind of thing, actually go to a game. It's like, well, when can we find the time to do it, you know?
So it looks like in 2027.
Yeah, exactly. I got it. The Bucks may not even be in Milwaukee anymore. Who knows, you know, by then.
Let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on the airwaves.
Yeah, the only thing baseball I got related is I already printed out my 2023 schedule, and I have about six games that I could probably go to here. I can't go to a night game because I'm not going to get home at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. It's too late for me. But I got several day games and a couple of those extra ones during the Cubs series. I might try to get to one of those games if I can beat the Cubs getting them.
Well, I was kind of curious about something if you did end up calling us today, sir, because you may be watching a pennant win this year. According to Clay Davenport, this article just came out this morning, I believe. The calendar has officially hit 2023. Mm-hmm. The Brewers had a lot of changes over the year. They had a lot of new players, and through trades and claims on waiver wire, added a pitcher or two, and the rule. Despite all this, Clay Davenport projection system has the Brewers predicted to win the NL Central in 2023.
Really? Wow.
I've been hoping that for a while now.
I was going to say, you've been saying that for at least a couple of,
exactly.
At least a month or so.
Right.
You've been talking about this, sir, calling us up about these. They got the Brewers at least 90 wins this year.
That'd be good, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think that, and it's not just the Brewers I think this happens to, there's so much pomp and circumstance of what's the Yankees doing every offseason of our lives. Sir, I don't know how old you are, but I am almost guaranteeing.
78, yeah.
Yeah, every year, even saving you, every year, what are the Yankees doing? What are they, and all that.
What are the Dodgers doing? What are
then
they?
It's the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. Then you've got the other teams out there in the East and West Coast that take a lot of attention. The recent years, the Padres have been doing that.
Yep.
The Mets have been doing that kind of thing. If I'm an owner of a smaller market team, I like this. I want this. I like the idea of them not knowing the lion that's behind the curtain, that kind of thing and stuff. I don't know. How do you feel about that, sir?
Yeah, I'm liking it, too. I'm hoping to go to a playoff game. don't get to go to them because they're kind of expensive, but I'm hoping to try to get to one.
Yeah,
your White Sox thing ain't doing too bad either on some of the signings. Yeah,
you're just being nice. You got a point. I haven't minded some of the signings they've done. I some of this stuff. It's hard for me right now to get too excited. I'm still feeling the burn from last year.
Yeah,
I went into last year with such a I didn't think that the necessarily they're going to win the World Series.
No,
I just expected a team that. Well, you know what I like is when I can throw on a game, just a random game in July, and I know it's going to be entertaining because I know this team fights, and they're going to put out a good game no matter what.
Yep.
You know, I didn't see that last year in that team. I saw a team with all the talent for days and couldn't get out of their own way. Yeah, I saw a lot of ego, a lot of that, and that was just from the management. That was from the dugout. let alone some of the players being knuckleheads and some of those.
Stuff.
So, I'm curious to see how this will be for a lot of these smaller market teams going forward. The go ahead.
I got one football related thing to say. The Packers must have wrote the script yesterday because everything fell their way. The last 2 weeks, everything fell their way. Now they just beat Detroit and we're in. So,
we're definitely getting into that.
Yeah,
I couldn't agree with you more. It must have been nice to be able to write the script of Sunday yesterday.
Yep.
Green Bay got a chance to really. I mean, anything they needed happened.
It's amazing. Yep.
Yeah, the block punt ended up on the 1.5 yard line, and they still couldn't get a touchdown.
That Nixon, that returner.
Their kicker missed two field goals or whatever. He never misses.
That seems very familiar.
Familiar. Oh, yes. This is nothing we haven't seen before.
Appreciate the call, sir. You have a great day, and Happy New Year to you.
Hey, you too, and Seth also.
Thank you, sir. Always good talking to you. just to wrap up that part of the conversation with baseball, how he came up with those predictions, new in 2023, things that could play a factor in win totals, the revamp balanced schedule. Each team will have 52 games against their division opponents, 64 games against teams in the same league as them, and 46 interleague games.
Wow.
46 interleague
games.
That
seems awfully high. That's a lot higher than it's been in the past, I think.
This means that instead of 19 games apiece against the Pirates and Reds, the Brewers will play them 13 times each in 2023. Mm-hmm. The Brewers also played 20 interleague games last year, going 15-5.
Wow.
But the amount of interleague games played in 23 will be more than double than what was played in 2022.
Interesting.
So in summary, 90 wins could be enough for the Brewers to win the NL Central that's how he came up with that math.
Yep.
Just interesting.
Yeah. I'm actually a fan. I appreciate the going back to the balanced schedule. I was never, and I understand why they did it, going to the unbalanced schedule. You know, you play your division rivals 19 times kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if that necessarily gets to good baseball, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think if you spread it out a little bit more, you can see what your team is really made of. You can see against different talent, against different things. And I know it means more travel for the teams, and that players may not like that as much, but still. You know, I like it. I think it's going to be cool. It'll be interesting to see how it works out.
Good morning. You're on Playmakers.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, good morning, Gary.
Good morning.
How are you?
Hey, you weren't open Saturday, were you?
Were we on the air Saturday? Is that what you're asking?
You weren't on the air, right?
No.
Okay, because I tried calling, and I was going to ask you about the Ice Bowl anniversary.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The anniversary of with that was. Oh,
that's right.
I love seeing the old footage of that.
That's cool.
It never gets old to me. I will never get tired of seeing the steam coming off of players' heads. Oh, I know.
Isn't that awesome?
Stuff. Oh, it just never gets old.
Yeah, I was there. I witnessed it.
Mm-hmm. That's why I was giving the pause there, Gary. I remember you telling us about that, and I just
wow.
I am so jealous of you when it comes to that. I would ruin a time machine just going back in time just to see the moments like that. But what is one of your favorite memories or one of the strongest memories from that game for you, Gary?
Drinking high school Miller Lite.
Yeah,
I bet you it stayed cold too. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's true. It's great stuff as always. Great to talk to you. Hey, always good to talk to you, sir. Have a happy new year.
You too, guys.
Thanks, you.
Steve. Thank you for the call. I love the footage of that stuff, though. Never gets old.
Me too. I even like? I like the old film footage of like football in the 40s because it looks like it's sped up.
It does.
It looks weird and like blah, 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 blah. I think it's hilarious.
And all the players look the exact same size.
They do.
It looks like everybody back then.
Exactly.
They're all 5'11 and weighed like either 150
190. Something like that.
Everybody weighed the same.
Yeah, the lineman and the quarterback were the same size.
Everybody,
the punter was the same size. The kicker was the same size. Yeah.
I've been itching to get into this one with you,
okay,
Seth.
Sure.
This recently came out. The National Baseball Hall of Fame revealed their 2023 Baseball Writers Association American Hall of Fame ballots.
Mm.
Several notable names, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Former slugger and outfielder Carlos Beltran belted 435 home runs and stole 312 bases during his 20-year career. I didn't know Beltran was around 20 years.
Man. I forget about that. Yes, that's true.
This is it's the only sport that does this to me. A guy like Beltran, you ask me right out the cuff, is Carlos Beltran a Hall of Famer? I'm like, well, no, probably not. I wouldn't say that. Then I look at his career, and I immediately smack myself in the back of the head.
Yep.
What are you thinking? Yes, of course he belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, I believe he absolutely, he is. He's a Hall of Famer for sure, yeah.
But only baseball does this to me.
I know.
I get so spoiled by these players and how good they are.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, yeah, he was good, but I don't know if he was a Hall of Famer. And then I look at their career.
Well, even if you look at his stats, you know, and say, well, 400. I mean, anyone who hits 400 home runs, I'm telling you, that's something.
Right.
That is something. Right. He was also one of the best center fielders in the game during his prime. He was one of the best fielding center fielders. So that's why, for me, total player, yes, he is definitely a Hall of Famer.
Former All-Star closer Francisco Rodriguez and his 437 career saves.
K-Rod, man.
Yeah, he was something.
He was something else.
Other notable first-timers, Houston Street, Matt Cain, John Lackey, R.A. Dickey, Jared Weaver, Bronson Arroyo, Jacoby Ellsbury, Andrew Ether, Michael Napoli, J.J. Hardy, and Jason Worth. Mm-hmm. Baseball also has the greatest names.
Don't they?
Those are great names.
And the rest of those guys, I would say, not Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
But K-Rod is on the border for me, and I don't think he'll get in because, A, he was a reliever.
Yeah.
Look, I can't remember. Has Billy Wagner gotten in the Hall of Fame yet?
I don't believe so.
Because if Billy Wagner's not in the Hall of Fame, then no other reliever will get into the Hall of Fame because he's still one of the greatest ever. But I got to double check on that because I can't remember if he was voted in.
Billy Wagner is in his eighth year of Hall of Fame on the Hall of Fame ballot.
So he is not. That bugs me. Anyway,
Me
he should be in the Hall of Fame. Anyway.
I agree. Among the returning candidates, three received more than 50% of the vote in 2022, with 75% needed for elections.
Okay.
Scott Rowland, Todd Helton, Billy Wagner, all up there with that.
All up there. Boy, those are all for me borderline guys. Rowland, he was one of the best third basemen of all time, defensively. Yeah. I think he gets in because of his defense. He was a good offensive player, too, of course. But, man, he was something else at third.
There's a logjam on the ballot in recent years with, like, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Curt Schilling receiving sizable shares of the vote without being elected. Mm-hmm. Though all three are no longer eligible for the ballot, they appear on this year's Contemporary Era ballot.
Yes.
How many different ways are there of this, by the way? I can't keep up with all that, with any of the Hall of Fames.
Like. Well, the main one for baseball is the writers. Mm-hmm. They're the main voting for the guys that after 5 years, they get 10 years of eligibility, whatever it is. But then the Major League Baseball every year comes up with a new committee to relook at different eras and that sort of thing to make sure, hey, was anyone missed kind of thing? And it did happen this last year. Fred McGriff, of course.
I was just going
to
say.
And they did miss it with him because he needed to be in the Hall of Fame. Fred McGriff, one of the big, from our era, one of the big guys from our era for sure.
In my head, it's the Fred McGriff rule.
Yeah, there you go. there you go.
So for years, my oldest friend Chris and I want to say one of our oldest conversations was, why isn't Jerry Kramer in the Hall of Fame? Why isn't Jerry Kramer in the Hall of Fame? It was a conversation we had every year, especially around the time that the Hall of Fames were announced. Thankfully, Mr. Kramer is in the Hall of Fame now, and that's really good.
Which is awesome.
Very cool. But the next name was Fred McGriff for us. Why isn't Fred McGriff in the Hall of Fame? We couldn't figure it out. Crime Dog. Get the crime. His nickname alone should get him in the Hall of Fame.
Like, he had one of the best, the coolest swings.
Oh, yeah.
When he finished high, you always knew he got it. Because you knew the ball was gone. When he finished with the bat way over his head, it was gone, man.
So some of these names getting out of the way may clear the way for others to garner more support, given that an increased number of voters are selecting the maximum of 10 candidates on the ballot. Those who stand to gain include Roland, Helton, and Wagner, as well as Andrew Jones, who was on his sixth ballot and received 41% of the vote last year. Another notable candidate in his second year of eligibility is Alex Rodriguez, who received 34.3% of the vote on his first ballot despite his then fourth place ranking on the all-time career home run list. If you ask somebody who just came about getting into baseball, they just jumped in, and they're hearing of Bonds, Clemens, Rodriguez, these names, and they're seeing their stats and all this stuff. Try to convince them that they don't belong in the Hall of Fame. It's weird.
A great test.
It is. It is a weird, and it's hard for us to do that. I've tried to do it myself, and I can't. I'm too close to the subject. I really do. I never stopped loving baseball. I just got put. I needed a break, or I needed to be able to assess all of these things, all these moving parts and everything. And as I'm getting older, and this particular offseason, I made myself, I'm like, all right, do you love baseball or not? Get in or get out. What are you going to do here? Because my dad, you, one of my greater friends, like so many people I know, this is their number one sport.
Right.
And the thing that I kept coming back to was, is these all these gray areas and all these things. And I finally just like, you know what, why do I feel? What do I feel about this? How do I what is my take on this? And I'm not voting on any Hall of Fames or anything like that. And my opinion matters about as much as a grain of salt.
Right.
But it's all that matters for me in my decision making. And for me, I have always been a big believer in I can't stand cheating of any kind in any form. Honor, loyalty, they are incredibly important to me. They make and break a sport to me.
Okay.
And all that. I'm also a realist, and I also understand that one of the earliest things that I was taught in baseball was cheating. for every person that every time they counter this, they get rid of this way of cheating. There's another form. And so this gray area of that we've had this conversation a million times, and you guys have had this conversation out there a million times with your friends and stuff. Where is the line? Is it okay, if I'm okay with pine tar, am I okay with steroids? They're two very different worlds.
They are very
much so. A Grand Canyon size difference between the two.
Right.
But the slippery slope exists. And if you're for many, many decades, it's okay for a pitcher to have a little bit under his hat or skew the ball a little bit here. You can't be surprised when a person goes the next step of injecting themselves with something to make themselves a little bit better or heal a little faster. Because I think we forget about this part of steroids, too. The essence of steroids was to get on the field faster.
Yes.
Wasn't to make me be able to hit a home run ball faster or hit a ball farther.
Yep.
Nobody is going to be able to take steroids and be able to hit a 99-mile-an-hour fastball. You either can or you can't. But it can help you get on the field faster in that.
And, you know, and that's, I mean, considering the financial reward for being on the field and performing well. Consider how much money these guys are talking about. I thought it was really revealing, like maybe it was 10 years ago or something like that. Randy Vilardi, you know, a solid player throughout his career, played for a bunch of teams, very good middle infielder. He was tested positive for steroids, and he was banned for 80 games or whatever the rule was at the time. And he said one of the most honest things I've ever heard a player say, because they asked him, well, why'd you do it? And he's like, I was just trying to stay that much longer.
Yeah.
I was doing it. My body was breaking down, and I thought this would be a way to just play a little bit longer. And I thought, wow, that is honesty right there. He wasn't because he was going to try to be the best, you know, whatever reason. He wanted to just stay. That was the reason he did it. Which, wow, you know, that's, you know, that was like, wow, you're willing to do that just so you can keep playing baseball. Interesting.
And tell me that ain't one of the most relatable things in the world, of wanting to just keep doing something you love being able to
any
do.
Any sport. Yeah. Think of any sport, and you could ask any former player, what was the hardest thing about the sport? Giving it up. Not doing it anymore.
Yep. That you always hear them talk about it, the camaraderie. I miss the locker room.
Yep.
I miss they don't. You hear them. You don't hear them missing the fame. You don't hear them missing the
training or all that stuff that they have to do to get there.
They miss the camaraderie.
They miss the camaraderie. Yeah. They like the winning. They like whatever it is. That's the thing. The competition. Yeah.
For me, it's when I did that and I went over this in my head. It was very easy for me to do this. If you're not going to have a special part of the Hall of Fame for these candidates, for these people with the asterisk, et cetera, then boom. Easy. No, they don't belong in. Pete Rose does not belong in. These guys do not belong in. If you're going to have a rule, you have to hold the rule. I think that also shines as an example for the youth of, hey, cheating doesn't always prosper. Cheating doesn't win.
Yep.
Yeah, you got the millions of dollars. Yeah, you got the fame. You got all this stuff.
Right.
But that one thing that almost every single athlete that ever picked up a baseball wants, given that Hall of Fame speech, That's legacy.
Yep.
That's like a World Series, a batting title, all these things are great. You ask most players, that's the goal, to get into the Hall of Fame.
Because you're the top of you're the top of the game. You're the top of the top, right? Yep.
Do you take that away? To me, that's a lesson. Now, I don't know that Barry Bonds feels anything from this. I don't know if his ego would allow him to or anything like that. But I would think that it's not about so much Barry Bonds as it is the kids looking up to Barry Bonds and kind of showing that example.
Yep. I just had one quick thing about talking about, you know, what you're taking. I appreciate, you know, the whole thing, what you just said about the cheating and everything. I do want to add one quick thing about that, about all these guys we're talking about, you know, Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, you know, Pete Rose, Curt Schilling, all guys personally I don't like.
Yeah, it doesn't help.
But I still think, In my opinion, that for what they did before, they were, you know, obviously, you know, taking steroids and cheating. Alex Rodriguez is in that camp as well. Someday we're going to be having this discussion about Ryan Braun.
Yep.
When he gets on the ballot, we're going to be talking about this again.
Yep.
It's before they started or before, you know, they tested. I don't think they were using, and I think they were still Hall of Famers.
Right.
That was the way I approach it.
Yeah.
Not that I like these guys. I don't. I think they're kind of – Roger Clemens is kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
Barry Bonds is a jerk, okay? Yeah. I don't like him, but I think they belong in the Hall of Fame. So
I like the idea. Watch baseball do this. We're going to allow them in the Hall of Fame, but only up the part of their career that we know was straight.
Would that be funny? Yeah.
Like they only get like Clemens, none of the Toronto years or anything like that. Just
for purely juvenile reasons, I'm so happy that Pete Rose isn't in, because he's one of the worst human beings ever. I'm sure he should be in the Hall of Fame, but he's such an awful person.
You know, but here's that other part of it too,
yeah,
that baseball can't seem to get right. They will say Barry, maybe not say,
yeah,
but Barry Bonds ain't getting into the Hall of Fame. I'll eat a hat if Barry Bonds gets into the Hall of Fame. But when they do their big promotions of the sport and the legacy and the stats, who's the all-time home run king? Barry Bonds.
He's still there.
They don't get no asterisk, no nothing, just Barry Bonds.
Still there.
You can't have it both ways. You can't do.
They want it so bad.
But they do. They try, and they do. The only player on his 10th and final ballot this year is Jeff Kent, an all-star second baseman and the 2000 National League MVP. He received 32% of the vote last year, all-star outfielder and five-time silver slugger, and award winner Gary Sheffield, who garnered 46% of the vote on the last ballot, is in his ninth year of eligibility. Another guy who I think is a Hall of Famer.
Sheffield's a Hall of Famer. That one is bizarre, because he's never been any whiff of steroids with him.
Yeah.
He's just guilty by association, because he was in that same era. Kamara. That one boggles my mind. I don't know why Gary Sheffield.
He belongs in.
Yeah.
The remaining returning candidates are Manny Ramirez, Omar Vizquel, Andy Pettit. Boy, all three. Jimmy Rollins, Bobby Abreu, the great, the amazing Mark Burley. Might be a little biased about that last one. It's one of my all-time favorite players, period. Yep. Any sport. Love me some Mark Burley. The
fastest worker ever.
Yeah. And Torrey Hunter, also wrap up the list. Another good name.
Well, right Torrey's right on the cusp for me because of his defense. One guy that should be in there, Omar Vizquel. Yeah. I'm sorry. I know he wasn't a great hitter, but he totally changed the game of the position of shortstop.
So right.
He needs to be in the Hall of Fame because just how he was such a cut above all the other shortstops.
All eligible BBWAA voters have the deadline was December 31st, so that was already up there.
Mm-hmm.
The results will be announced by Hall of Fame President Josh Rawich Tuesday, January 24th, live on MLB Network. We'll, of course, be covering it on Playmakers.
Sure.
It should be an interesting one.
Sounds like
one.
Fun. It will be interesting. We get to dissect it. Always fun.
I love that. We're going to take a break. We'll come back, and we're going to get into some football. I want to talk about retirements, also playoff chances, and just football in general. All that coming up on Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing here at WFHR. Welcome back to Playmakers here at WFHR, brought to you by our good friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. A big good morning to all of our friends over there.
Mm-hmm.
Seth and James here with you. And you, it's your show, everybody. Call up 424-2600, your sports thoughts and feelings. Don't hang out on the sidelines. Get into the game. Join us for the conversation. Going to be a good show here. Got a half an hour left of nothing but talking with all of you guys. I always try to keep an eye out for breaking news. Tends to happen in the sports world quite a bit. While I want to get into football, I did want to note this really quick. Martina Navratilova has been diagnosed with two forms of cancer.
Oh.
Wishing her well.
Oh, absolutely.
Really, really hate to see that.
Yeah. One of the all-time greats right there.
Yeah.
Of any sport. I don't care what sport you're talking about.
Well said. In a statement released by her representative, the 18-time Grand Slam singles champion and member of the International Tennis Hall of Fame said her prognosis is good and she will start treatment this month.
Very good.
Quote, this double whammy is serious but still fixable. I am hoping for a favorable outcome, the 66-year-old Navratilova said. It's going to stink for a while, but I'll fight with all I got.
Love the honesty there. That's great.
There's certain times where you almost feel bad for cancer.
Yeah.
Like, because good luck beating her.
Oh, okay. One of the great competitors of all time. Mm-hmm. And she didn't mind telling you all about it. That's what I liked about her, too.
There are few people who can intimidate me. And I don't say that with any machismo. I say it just because of the way I was raised.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain athletes, and it usually is an athlete, that I can look at. Robert Parrish. Robert Parrish is maybe my greatest example of this. I never heard Robert Parrish talk. I know the Chief was a Hall of Famer and a great athlete. And he's seen, and from what I have heard, real giver with his time. Like, would stay late to sign fans' autographs. Really loved the fan base and really good to people, no matter where he was, even outside of Boston.
Yep.
But man, if Robert Parrish walked, this day and age, if he's still... That there's something about him. I'm not messing with him. There's something about that
putting
guy.
Aside the fact that how tall is he?
I mean,
there's just the height.
8'10". Yeah, I believe he was 8'10".
That's the way he seems anyway, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, you're right. There are certain guys that are like that. So,
Charles Oakley, another one. Charles Oakley, man. That's a fellow Chicago. I didn't have something to talk about.
His hair would intimidate me, man. Oakley's hair, boy, man.
Martina Navratilova, when she would kneel down getting ready for a volley, there's something about the look and determination
man,
on her face.
She was something, or she is something. Look at this, what she's doing now. Come on.
Wishing her well.
No, yes, absolutely.
So what I want to talk about with the what Green Bay has done in the last month, the Packers are on a play. Every game has they are already in the playoffs. Green Bay is already in the playoffs. It's win or go home for them.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've had the win out these last couple of weeks in order to keep their playoff chances alive. So they are in win or go home mode already.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's shown. They have been playing that way.
Yep.
The most recent victory over the league, the division leading Minnesota Vikings, really brings that home.
Oh, for sure.
I think that was the game when you were looking ahead at the schedule that you were wondering, is that the one that they lose and then the season's over?
Yep.
Now that we've got for those that don't know, if Green Bay wins next week against Detroit, they are in. Now with Washington losing, Washington is out. Mm-hmm. Seattle still has a chance, but even if Seattle wins next week and Green Bay wins, Green Bay has the edge over Seattle because right. it is a division win over Detroit.
Yeah, right, right, right.
Now Detroit's no pushover. Oh, you know, anything can happen.
As soon as I saw the matchup for next week, and Detroit's in a very similar position, they need help, but they have to win the game. When is the last time the Lions were in a game that mattered this much?
Yes, yes.
And I think it's going to be huge. Are they playing in Green Bay or Detroit? I can't remember.
It's in Green Bay.
It's in Green Bay. Yeah. Ooh, that's going to be interesting. Yeah, oh, yeah. Wow. Even another layer there. Wow.
I just think it's kind of because every season the Packers are in their hunt, mm-hmm. you know, at least in our lifetimes, yep. pretty much. I think it's cool to see Detroit fighting. And I
yeah.
think it's, when's the last time a Detroit-Green Bay game truly mattered? Like, it had actual stakes on it and everything.
Mid-90s?
Yeah,
I don't know. It's been 20-some years. I mean, wow.
It's just kind of cool.
It is. It is.
My question to the audience is, for this team in particular, is it exciting for you? Oh, you come into this season as a Packer fan, and it's Super Bowl or nothing.
Basically.
Then the season happens, mm-hmm. and you're kind of – there's a 5-game losing streak at mm-hmm. a point in this season. So then you start kind of being like, all right, well, I'll take what I can get,
yep.
you know, of wins here and there and yep. stuff. All of a sudden, team starts pulling around. Start winning some games. All of a sudden, you start seeing a playoff opportunity, a chance for mm-hmm. the playoffs. And then you come into now this point of the season where most Green Bay fans I know, mm-hmm. they just want a playoff shot. They just want a chance to get mm-hmm. into the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
None of them think that this is a team that could win the Super Bowl, but they're also NFL lifetime NFL fans and know yeah. anything can happen.
Anything can
once
happen.
You get into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So is this, let's say that win or lose next week, whatever happens, is this season still worth it? Was it still a good season? Even if they don't win a Super Bowl, even if they don't even make the playoffs, or they make the playoffs and they're out in the first round.
That's a great question.
Was it a fun season for you if you are a Green Bay fan? Because for me, if I'm putting myself in those shoes, this has been a kind of cool season in mm-hmm. a sense because of the way it started, the way it went, and the way it's ending.
Yep, yep.
You get so much out of 17 weeks. You think about the up and down of an NFL season.
Oh,
it
man.
Is so darn wild.
It is crazy.
And maybe more of a up and down roller coaster for any other fan base than the Green Bay fan base.
This year in particular has been really nutty.
I'm curious to know if you guys have enjoyed that part of it, if you guys have what your expectations are for this team if they do make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Do you think this is a team that could win it all? Everything is so momentum based when it comes to football.
It really seems that way.
Momentum and injury based.
Very good caveat there. Yes, yeah. Injuries always play a very big role. You know what? I was noticing something here, and I'm not sure since I'm not a Packer fan, and I'm not really an Aaron Rodgers fan either. I'm curious about. Is the roller coaster with Aaron Rodgers worth it for Packer fans? You know, we've gotten to a stage now where, you know, is it Aaron being Aaron kind of thing? You know, is it just him being? Because, you know, I was just talking to James on the break. I read his comments after the game yesterday, you know, about, you know, because people were asking, well, what happened? You know, why are there? And he gave kind of like this really nonsense, weird.
Did not make any sense.
I didn't, you know, about it's all mental and all this stuff. I was like, what? I didn't understand that. I do have a theory though. Mm, mm. And this is kind of based on an observation, James, that you have made in the past about especially guys. I mean, Tom Brady's a good example. All the great quarterbacks chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
What motivates them?
Yeah.
And I have to believe all the talk about him not playing the rest of the season.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
From all outlets were saying, should they sit Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah.
I think the fire got lit in the belly.
Yeah.
And I think that is where we're at right now.
Father Time is a heck of a motivator. If you're Aaron Rodgers and your contemporaries mm-hmm. are, you know, Tom Brady mm-hmm. and some of these others, you know that your legacy is going to, it doesn't matter. He could win two more MVPs
mm-hmm.
and they're still always going to, yeah, but he only won one Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They're always going to do that to you.
Yep.
So if you're Aaron Rodgers, your legacy is built on Super Bowl championships.
Yep.
Not just getting to the game,
yep.
winning the whole thing.
Yep.
I wonder too, because I think that's an interesting. I think mm-hmm. you're so right about that motivator, yep. and that fire. But I also there's another part of this too that I wonder, because most Green Bay fans I know, when I ask this question, mm-hmm. they look at Aaron Rodgers and like Brett Favre too, two different ways.
Okay.
The person on the field is what they care about, what they talk about, and right. they talk ad nauseum about. Mm-hmm. You bring up anything off the field, like, eh. not a lot of care. Not a lot
you're
of concern.
You're right. I hadn't thought about that, but I think
really
you're right.
It really doesn't, yeah, like, hey, all I care about is him, the athlete.
Yep, between and the lines, right? Yeah.
I don't even know his middle name. I don't know what his face even looks like. I just know what the back of his head looks like and his jersey and all that.
Yeah.
I'm not begrudging that by yep. any means. I mean, teach their own.
Mm-hmm.
I just find that it's interesting.
Yeah.
I think that we tend to be like that as sports fans anyway.
I agree.
I think certain fan bases a little more than others.
Yep.
And when you look at a fan base like that, where they've had this quarterback play for over 20 mm-hmm. years,
yeah,
I could see myself doing the same exact thing. I kind of did do it with Jay Cutler. I couldn't stand Jay Cutler. I wouldn't want to spend 5 seconds with Jay Cutler. Now, I didn't know Jay Cutler.
Right.
I just was projecting the look he was on the sidelines, all this stuff and everything.
Right.
Couldn't stand it. I also have only seen maybe one other Bear quarterback in that jersey make those kind of throws. Make the throws that Jay Cutler can make. You can talk all day about how bad, you know, his personality and his body language was. That man had an arm, though.
He did.
And he had guts. Yep. He could take a hit.
Oh, my gosh, did he?
He did. Jay Cutler will never get the credit he deserves for being a actual football player.
Man, he was always ragged on about that, too.
Yeah, and but the guy he was played gutty. Hurt. Constantly.
Yes.
Constantly. I'm not a Jay Cutler fan. I don't think it was a smart trade, any of this. But I can even give him credit for playing hurt and
exactly,
all that.
Exactly, yeah.
And I've never understood that part of us as fans or commentators.
Yeah.
Our judging of another human mm-hmm. being when we have, first up, none of us are doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And none of us know what his pain, what he's literally right. going through. Like, literally, you don't know. What they share with you in the NFL is only what they share.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's got a hurt hand. Hammy. That guy could have about 15 other injuries.
Who knows? Exactly.
That
yeah.
They don't have to diagnose. They don't have to tell you.
Yeah, exactly. Unless it's like super serious. Yeah, mm-hmm. you're right. Like they can't walk kind of thing. Yeah.
And it's the same thing with the other side mm-hmm. of these things with athletes too.
Yep.
Of like, you know, it's easy for me to say, oh, Aaron Rodgers yep. always wants to be the smartest person in the room. This and this and this. I don't know Aaron. I don't know.
Frankly,
him.
I don't care.
You know, it's not fair to necessarily project these things.
Yeah,
but it also is understandable because they kind of yep. it's the give and yep. take of it.
Yeah, and in my personal opinion, I think a lot of quarterbacks, especially some of the great ones, take themselves too seriously.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
you know why? One of my, and this is just my personal opinion, one of my all-time favorite quarterbacks, Stan Humphries.
Oh.
Stan Humphries, who took nothing seriously, yeah, and maybe to yeah. the detriment of his playing career. But I still love Stan Humphries. Another True. One of the toughest guys that ever put True. Up that was a oh, quarterback. Yeah. But I loved him. And, you know, his career was short and everything. But, hey, he took the charge to a Super Bowl. I mean, when no one thought they could do it. So I got to give him credit for that.
Pretty crazy. One of the greats. But yes. he had such a great personality.
Yeah, he had a great personality.
While we're waiting on calls, as far as Green Bay talk, I want to mm-hmm. you know hear how people feel about their Packers.
Yeah.
And all. I want to ask about another local, J.J. Watt.
Mm.
The star Arizona Cardinal defensive end announced that this is his final season.
Wow.
With the in the NFL. Kind of a surprise for some, but I think that once you had a chance to think about it, kind of like with the injuries piling up and everything, makes kind of sense.
Yeah. How long has he been in the league?
Okay, he'll be eligible. It's telling me when he's eligible.
Oh, okay, right.
So the 7-time All-Pro and 5-time Pro Bowl selection, he was selected with the 11th overall pick in the 2011 NFL draft by the Houston Texans.
2011, okay. Mm-hmm. 2012 was his first season. Okay.
He played his first 10 seasons yep. with the Texans and has the franchise record for most career sacks.
Mm.
Then he's played the last couple of years with the Arizona Cardinals.
So it's been over. He's been over 10 years in the mm. league, and that's I'm top man. If you hit 10 years in the NFL, I give you all the credit in the world, man.
I almost feel like there should be a Hall of Fame just for that.
I know you made it.
The 33-year-old was named Defensive Player of the Year 3 times, tied for most in league history with Los Angeles Rams defensive tackle Aaron Donald and, of course, Lawrence Taylor.
Wow. Man, that is some rare company you're in.
to me, it's not because I thought this was pretty easy to answer when I brought it up with a bunch of my friends and some looked on social media. Oh yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. But I've actually seen some pushback. I think because of recent memory, because he has had the last handful of seasons, you know, taken from him through injury.
Yeah,
I think some people have been looking at that more than looking at the first 7 or 8 years of his career.
Totally, totally, and I think time will help. You know, that when he retires, we look back. Well, wait, wow, this guy was something else. I mean, he was special.
Yeah.
Is it sad that I still think it was? It feels like it was just yesterday he was in Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, what? He's retiring now? What? Oh man, I feel old now.
Saw this and I immediately. I'm so with you on this. I saw the news and I immediately felt bad for him because, he had such a short career. And then I look at his stats and I'm like, no, he was in the league for over 10 years. He was like, what are you doing? It's just, you're so right, man. It feels like he's still a young player, it feels like. It feels like he's still, I don't know what that is. I don't know.
Me neither.
Maybe, you know, why or what it is, but I am.
It just feels that way, doesn't it? Yeah.
It does. I am. I do think that he is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Oh, I agree, 100%.
I genuinely think he is.
Yeah.
I did want to ask some friends of mine that aren't as close to it, that aren't Wisconsinites, or aren't as big of fans of J.J. Watt, and even they agreed that that he's a first ballot.
I think his stats really bear that out. He was one of a handful of really dominating defensive linemen of his era. So yeah, I'm with you.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back. We got the College Football National Championship game coming up. Does anybody care? We're going to find out. We're going to find out.
That's a good question.
Coming up here on Playmakers, brought to you by our good friends at Quality Plus Printing here at WFHR. Welcome back to Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR. Seth and James here. Got about 10 minutes left to show to take your phone calls, 424-2600. Call up and join the conversation with your sports thoughts and feelings.
Yeah.
So the national championship game is set. Georgia versus the TCU Horned Frogs. How many of you knew that?
I didn't.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
This is the wildest thing to me.
Oh, wow.
A college football playoff is something that a lot of people wanted for their whole lifetimes.
Yeah.
We finally got it, and it's hard to keep up with for some.
It's just I don't know what it is, but you're right, man.
You had two incredible games over the weekend. TCU Michigan went down to the wire. Mm-hmm. Ohio State Georgia went down to the wire. Couldn't have asked for better games. Mm-hmm. Don't look up the viewership. Don't look that up if you're a big fan of college football, though.
Wow.
The numbers that they were expecting were not exactly the numbers they got.
Okay. Well, now I'm going to go do that right after we're done here.
and it's interesting, it's full circle, bringing it completely back here. We started the show asking Seth about how you find time for sports when you have so much going on. And here we are again, where I'm curious to know, because it's one of the biggest games in town is college football. The only thing bigger than college football is NFL football.
Is the NFL, right, yeah.
Are they doing a disservice having these games and at this time of year, when it's at the end of the year, when you've got holidays going on? Because I don't care if you're born and raised in Georgia and the biggest Georgia Bulldog fan in the world, your attention can't all be on the Bulldogs. You got New Year's, you got Christmas, you got all these other things.
Family
going
gatherings,
on.
You got all this stuff going on.
End
of
the year stuff with work going on and stuff. I don't think that they're doing themselves any favors by this. Sometimes football thinks it's bigger than anything. So I can put this on. You know what? If I want to have an NFL game on Christmas Day, they're going to watch. I don't care. I don't care if people are busy or not. You're going to watch. I'm going to put it on there. We push back at corporations about being open on Christmas.
Yeah.
And now we're kind of coming around to this.
Yeah.
We don't do that with sports, though. Hey, hey, NBA players, get out there and perform for me on Christmas Day.
You know, I've always wondered that myself. It's like, we make the players do it.
Yeah.
They miss Christmas because they're busy entertaining us. And how many people are watching? Anyway.
Well, I will own this. I am a hypocrite because I love these games.
I'm sure.
Some of my favorite memories are Christmas Day games in the NBA and all that. But it does seem a little silly to me. And it also is kind of like shooting yourself in the foot kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
My job is to get as many viewers as possible for this game.
Right.
So I should probably have it on at the time where people can really focus on the game. Certainly some people are off of work, kids out of school, those kind of
things.
That
makes sense. That part of it
I see that part of it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, those are kids how many kids are sitting around watching TV? You know, they're out there playing, they're out there doing these things.
Exactly.
Or whatever. And adults got a million other things going on before you
food and family and all this other stuff, right? Yeah.
Seth brought up something during the break. They are expanding the playoffs to, I believe, 12 teams.
12, or, yes. Yeah, it's 12 teams. Yep.
And I think that doesn't start until 24, I think.
It's a couple years away, yeah. 25, actually, I think. But, yeah,
they gotta
something like that.
They got to get this scheduling down before then.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because this, if they keep the same type of schedule, they won't be playing the national championship game until March. the way that they have these two-week breaks and all
and
this
that
stuff
is insanity.
And everything.
Like, that is crazy. You can't do that.
Because I know that, you know, with the rise of NIL licensing, there's some people out there that now they're taking their foot off the gas. Hey, these players are getting paid. So they can keep on going out there and getting hurt and injured and maybe costing themselves their careers or millions of dollars. First up, these players are not getting paid. Some players are.
Some very few, yes.
And they're not getting paid from the university, the people that actually should be paying them. They're getting paid from Joe Schmo, who's got a car dealership over here or something like that. Like, these universities are still not losing a penny to this, which makes no sense whatsoever, but that is kind of a other conversation.
Yeah, that's a whole other can of worms.
But if you're going to ask these kids to go out there and risk their careers and risk their livelihoods and all that, at least do it on a normal schedule. Get a right schedule down.
Yeah, here. Just keep it going, you know. And I still have problems with when they do the Super Bowl. They have to wait a couple. And I understand some of the reasons why they do it, but it's very annoying to me. It's like, come on. And now they add more games. Sorry, this is a whole big thing get into. But
it's interesting. It's interesting what they're – because, look, money is king. And money is always going to win over safety, over care,
over
love,
anything.
When it comes to industries, they are always going to go the money route.
Yep.
So
bottom line,
I don't see any of that changing necessarily. But it is people change. People change, and you know, viewership is down for all the major sports, and people aren't going out to games as much of all the major sports.
Yep.
This stuff can have a shelf life, and you have to be careful.
Oh man, that's an absolutely wonderful term for it, because every sport, and it's just getting more and more now, because you got soccer surging up, you know, a little bit with the younger folks, and you've got all these other things, you know, competitive tiddlywinks or whatever the next thing is going to be, you know. And you're right, we only have so much time to do that, and people are going to do kind of like what I've done, focus on one or two, and that's it. Maybe you'll check out the other ones every now and then, but you're not going to watch the games on TV.
Only have so much bandwidth. I can only handle
there you
so
go.
Much, you know. It's curious to see how you make the balance, how that works.
Yes.
I think that if you polled MLB owners in the 80s, that none of them would be worried about baseball always bringing in ratings, people always showing up to the ballpark. Baseball was king. Baseball had nothing to worry about. People were always going to love baseball. We've got over 100 years of built-in fans.
Yeah, history and fans and
all this stuff.
Intergenerational, right?
Look at what baseball has done to try to stay relevant. Look at all the rule changes. Look at all the things they're spinning their heads trying to keep up with.
It's always to make the game faster, too.
Yeah.
That's all that they're trying to do is make the game faster.
It's not about necessarily appeasing or making the game better. It's about appeasing the fans.
Exactly.
And so, you know, this stuff has a shelf life.
Yeah,
you got to be careful if you're football, if you're you know, what
any
you're doing
of the
there.
Sports, you do have to be careful, because you're not gonna. The mighty fall, and so you got to be. You got to wonder about what's gonna happen.
I'm curious to know how much people are engaged with the college football national championship, and how many people even know who's in it.
That my only interest in this game now is to see a school like TCU take down Georgia. That would be, to me, that's interesting. That's an interesting storyline, but that's it.
It is a little David and Goliath, but at the same time, TCU has shown you in the last three or four games that they have played, you cannot count them out.
No, you can't. That's why it'd be a really interesting story if they were able to, because they're definitely the underdogs going into this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting.
As we're wrapping up, we'll might as well just stick a little bit with college football. Graham Mertz has a new team. He's going to Florida.
Ooh, interesting.
Pretty interesting. And Wisconsin's quarterback room now has like three all-star quarterbacks in it. Like, it is insane what has happened in like not even a month or two with the way that the transfer portal works now in college football. These kids can move about pretty easily.
Pretty easily, yep.
And, you know, you have a new coach in Coach Fickell, who has a proven track record record of quarterback
play. Certain amount of pedigree, yep.
And getting guys into the NFL.
Yep.
And they have got like two different recruits they brought in the last couple of weeks, like four or five star quarterbacks. And both they're actually like rooting for each other. They're like, it's interesting. Wow. I don't think people talk enough about this part of the transfer protocol, portal. These kids are rooting for each other and pulling for each other and working together.
Yeah.
And they've got kind of a side conversation going on now with them where, oh, you're going here? Well, I'm going to go here. The power that has gone to the players is not getting old to me. I like seeing that. It's frustrating. Yep. I understand as fans, but I think it's important for these kids.
Can I make a bold prediction? Mm. Can I make a bold prediction in college football? Let's say 5 years. Maybe that's a little short, but I'm going to say in 5 years, players union.
Ooh.
In college football.
Ooh.
They've already tried a couple of times. There's been stuff that's gone around. I'll bet you anything they're going to unionize at some point.
You know, I know that some Northwestern players really brought some attention to that a couple of years back.
Yeah, and I think it's going to start. And now, because what you're talking about, they have more open lines of communication with each other, and that can only lead to stuff they're going to be talking up to each other about, well, how are things here? Oh, wow, really? You just have that? Well, you know, we should do something about that. Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah.
If they're going to talk to each other, I think you're going to start seeing that. You're going to see more and more of that coming up. I really believe it.
Wisconsin is also bringing in another quarterback, SMU QB Tanner Mordecai, one of the greater names.
I love that name.
Such a good name.
Yep.
He is coming in from SMU. Mordecai is extremely excited to be with this new team. Mordecai had, 7,152 passing yards and 72 touchdowns and 22 interceptions in two seasons at SMU.
Holy
cow. 6'3", 214-pound quarterback. Going to be going in with Nick Evers from Oklahoma.
Wow.
Yeah, it is a new day in Wisconsin.
Really quick, I think we're going to be seeing a new style of football in Madison next year.
Yeah.
I think it's going to change quite a bit.
It's going to be pretty cool. Seth, thanks for hanging out with us.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you to all of you for the great phone call, great conversations. We'll have another Playmakers for you next Monday. And a huge shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Thank you to everybody. Stick around for more coming up here at WFHR, locally grown radio.